Israel is celebrating the 60th year of its nationhood this year. What does that celebration mean to the people of Israel? And what hope do they have as they look to the future? Is there really any hope for the state of Israel? Or is its annihilation a guaranteed certainty? For a discussion of these questions with people living in Israel today, stay tuned.
Lamb and Lion Ministries presents Christ in Prophecy, a program that focuses on the fundamentals of Bible prophecy, showing how current events in the news relate to biblical predictions of end time events and the soon return of Jesus. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Reagan.
Greetings in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope, and welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I recently spent almost 2 weeks in Israel where I videotaped several interviews with people concerning Israel's 60th anniversary, which will be celebrated in May of this year. Last week, we shared several of these interviews with you, and this week we want to continue sharing some others with you. I think you'll find them to be both informational and inspiring. Let's go now to Jerusalem for our first interview. Welcome to Liberty Bell Park here in the heart of Jerusalem. I wanted to do this interview in this park because this replica of the Liberty Bell reminds me of the fact that Israel is the only true democracy here in the Middle East. My special guest is Wayne Hilsdon, who is the pastor of King of Kings Community Church here in Jerusalem. Wayne, welcome to our program, and I must say to you that I'm a little bit envious because it must be a tremendous blessing to be the pastor of a church in what the Bible calls the city of the great king.
Well, it is a privilege, and I still pinch myself. I really do, because it hasn't worn off. The love for this city, the love for the people of this city, and it is a privilege to know that this is the city of the great king. And of course, David came and established his kingdom here from Jerusalem, and the King of Kings is going to come right back to the same
Hallelujah.
City again.
Amen. Well, tell me, how long have you been the pastor of the church?
25 years.
So you founded it?
Right at the beginning. Two couples, my wife and I and another couple, started a little Bible study in a small apartment in downtown Jerusalem.
And then it grew to the point that you started meeting in the YMCA, correct?
Yeah, we moved into a small room there, a lecture room. It was actually an archaeological museum. And we had fertility goddesses in glass cases all around the room. But we went in and we worshiped the one true God, and we had a terrific time. And then it grew into, and we moved into the large auditorium.
Yes, that's where I visited you many times when I would bring groups over here. And now the Lord has given you a whole new facility, a former movie theater, right?
Right downtown, Main Street of the city on Jaffa Road. We bought that back in end of 2002, opened our doors in November of 2004. And it's just a remarkable strategic location. We're in a shopping center, of all things. And so we're right mixed in with the marketplace, and it's given us a platform to speak to Jerusalem.
What is your average attendance on Sunday morning these days?
Well, Sunday evening actually is our main service, and we get about 500 people that service, and then we have a Hebrew-speaking service on the weekend as well, with another 100 to 150
that
people.
That is wonderful. Well, I've got two very crucial questions I want to ask you, but I want to get out of this Jerusalem sun. So let's go find a shady place and talk, okay?
Good idea.
All right.
All right.
Well, Pastor, we're coming up on the 60th anniversary of the nation of Israel. Doesn't seem possible.
No, it doesn't.
And I want to ask you, what kind of special feelings do you have as we come up on this 60th anniversary?
Well, I'm still amazed that after 2,000 years of scattering in the nations, that Jewish people would get this urge to come back to a land that was really seemingly God-forsaken. Trees ripped out of the soil, vegetation basically gone. It was a dust bowl. Yes. And yet something in the heart of the Jewish people said, we need to go home. And they've been coming back. And I believe the establishment of the nation of Israel again in 1948 is absolutely a God thing. It's a miracle. It's not an accident of history. And I believe that that ought to give us great hope that God is a promise-keeping God. He said he would bring his people back. He said he would reestablish the nation again. The dry bones would come back together again. There would be a rattling sound, a lot of crashing as they come together. It wouldn't be a quiet thing, but God has done it.
He's been faithful to his promises.
Absolutely.
And it sure shows who's in control, doesn't it?
It does. He's sovereign.
You know, when you mentioned triggering something in the heart, that has occurred to me several times. In the Psalms, it says that God has placed in the heart of the Jewish people the road to Zion. And I think what happened about the beginning of the 20th century is he triggered something in their hearts, like in a homing pigeon. And all over the world, Jewish people suddenly had this urge to go back home.
Absolutely.
And when you stop and think about the fact, for thousands of years they've been praying, what, next year
in Jerusalem.
And now, here they are.
That's it.
Okay. Now, the Lord has been faithful not only to bring them back and reestablish them, but to keep them in existence for 60 years. After all, the day after the declaration, they were attacked by five Arab nations, and there's been attack after attack after attack. Right now, on the 60th anniversary, in the natural, it appears there is little hope for Israel. You've got all the nations of the world against Israel, all the major organizations against Israel, like the United Nations, the European Union. You've got surrounded by 250 million hostile Arabs. You've got a loss of vision by the leadership of Israel. The people of Israel are war weary. They appear to be willing to surrender almost anything for quote unquote peace. Is there any hope for Israel?
Well, the very fact that there's a disillusionment with Zionism and a disillusionment with the world, and I think Jewish people for a long time have thought if they would just be part of the family of nations that everyone would come to accept them as they are. But the reality is that the nations are not accepting a Jewish presence in Israel. And so what does that mean? It means that Jewish people will call out to God. And God hears the prayer of the destitute, it says. And so to me it's a hopeful sign. Because in ourselves as human beings, we don't have the strength, we don't have the ability, we don't have the ingenuity to build a nation like this. Nobody can. And it's only God. And so I just believe that God is going to hear those prayers, those cries. And of course, for centuries, they've been praying at the wall and crying out to God. But now it's not just the religious, but I believe the whole nation is at a place of desperation.
Before I introduce the next persons we interviewed, I want to make a few comments about Wayne Hilsdon. We happened to be in Jerusalem this year on Easter Sunday, so we took advantage of that great blessing to attend one of the sunrise services at the Garden Tomb. And I tell you folks, it was a wonderful experience. Wayne's church, King of Kings Community Church in Jerusalem, supplied the worship team. They were positioned right in front of the tomb itself, and they led us in some glorious worship. Wayne Hilsdon himself was the featured speaker at the Garden Tomb. He spoke at three services that morning concerning the reality of the resurrection, and in the process, he literally spoke to people from all over the world. When I interviewed him the next day for this program, I pointed out to Wayne that for one day, he had been equal to the Pope. He asked me what I meant, and I explained that each year at Easter, the international news media focus on reporting two events. For Catholics, they report what the Pope has to say in his sermon at the Vatican. And for Protestants, they report on what the guest speaker has to say at the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. Well, Wayne got a good laugh out of that observation, and I'm glad to report that he did not require me to kiss his ring. Let's return now to Jerusalem for our next interview. Welcome to the international headquarters of the Christian Friends of Israel, located in central Jerusalem near the end of Ben Yehuda Street. We've come here to interview the executive directors, Ray and Sharon Sanders. Let's go inside and meet them. Well, here we are with Ray and Sharon Sanders, and I want to begin by thanking you all for letting us interrupt your very busy day, because I know the two of you are busy all the time, and I appreciate you just taking a moment, maybe you enjoying this moment of rest.
We are indeed,
to talk with us.
We need to come more often.
Okay, well, I have two questions that I want to ask you. The first one, we're coming up on the 60th anniversary of the State of Israel. Hardly seems possible. Seems like 1948 was only yesterday to me. But anyway, do you have any special feelings about the 60th anniversary of Israel?
I think it's a momentous event for Israel to celebrate just by virtue of the fact she survived 60 years of intense Arab hatred towards her, and only by the grace of God, she's still here today. I think all of us that live here have to acknowledge that we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God's grace upon this nation.
In fact, the very day that they announced the declaration, May 14, 1948, the next day they were attacked by five Arab nations, and they've been attacked ever since.
Ever since, it hasn't stopped.
How about you, Sharon?
Well, when I think of the word observation, I kind of think of reflecting, obviously, and I think it's a good time to honor the state of Israel for what they've done in achievements and for building up this nation. I also would like to honor, David, those who are in harm's way, the soldiers of this nation. We go to bed at night, we sleep well, because they're out there protecting us. And then there's the people of the nation. Take Sderot right now with the attacks upon 15 minutes from Gaza. The people are under attack constantly, and yet they continue to go on. And then I think we cannot honor this, the nation of Israel, without honoring above everyone else God Almighty, because He was the one who established this nation. And this birthday is really a celebration to Him, because it's such a miracle.
It's a testimony of His faithfulness.
Yeah, I think it's Isaiah 66 that says, the nation was born in a day. Who's ever heard of anything like it, right?
And with the, and also it says, and the birth pains would come afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And they are.
And they continue,
we're feeling them, too.
They continue to this day.
Yes, that's
obviously,
right.
Obviously, unfortunately, as well.
Yes. Well, I have another question, and that is, so when you look at the future of Israel, we look in the past now, what about the future? In the natural, it looks very grim. It looks like there's no hope. You're surrounded by 250 million hostile Arabs determined to annihilate this state. You've got all the major organizations of the world, the United Nations and the European Union, the United States, all saying you've got to give up your heartland. You've got the Zionist leadership now. I mean, the leaders of Israel seem to have lost their Zionist vision. Mm. The people seem to be war-weary. They're on a road of appeasement that we know never leads to peace. Is there any hope for Israel?
Well, apart from God, there's no hope, obviously. Israel is very much like a sheep without a shepherd today. And they really need the leadership that can take them through these difficult times. And that's what we've been praying for more than ever before, is that God will raise up righteous leadership that can lead this country into the into an uncertain future. But only with God's help will He establish and continue to maintain this nation in the future.
Sharon, what about the hope for Israel in the future?
I totally agree. It has to be based upon the foundational promises of God Almighty to this nation. Otherwise, it looks hopeless.
Yes.
It's a tiny little bone in the throat of Islam. And only the power of Almighty God can keep this nation sustained. And I was reading last night in Jeremiah 31, where it says, the Lord says, His word to the nations are that as long as there is a moon and a sun and stars giving their light, as long as the oceans have the waves, as long as those ordinances stand, there will be an Israel. And when I think of the days ahead, they're going to be difficult, very difficult. But we've been through the Gulf War and a number of intifadas and the Lebanon War. And I guess what we're going to do is stand. We're going to stand with the Jewish people because this land has been given to them. And I think the hope of Israel is the coming Messiah, Yeshua, and the promises of Almighty God.
Well, all I can say is amen to that. And thank you for letting us interview you. Before we proceed to our final interview with the founder and director of the Jerusalem Newswire, an international news service based in Jerusalem, let's pause for a song by Carol Cantrell entitled, O Lord God of Israel. It is from the album Jerusalem Mosaic, which was produced by Bridges for Peace in Jerusalem.
O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee. What keeps like thee in the earth, O Lord God of Israel.
One of the best news sources I have found concerning events in Israel is the Jerusalem News Wire. I receive a report from them each day via the internet, and the report always contains interesting insights into the news of Israel written from a biblical and prophetic viewpoint. The person behind the Jerusalem News Wire is Stan Goodenough, a Christian newsman who has been living in Israel for the past 20 years. Let's go now to Jerusalem for an interview with him. I'm standing in the old city of Jerusalem just inside the Jaffa Gate at the site of Christ Church, which is the oldest Protestant church in the Middle East. We're going in through these gates to the courtyard where we're going to conduct our next interview. Well, my special guest here at Christ Church is none other than Stan Goodenough, who is the founder of the Jerusalem News Wire. Stan, we're glad to have you. Tell us about what is the Jerusalem News Wire.
Thank you, Dave. Good to be with you. The News Wire is basically a daily, or as often as we can, updated news source out of Jerusalem that views the gripping events that take place here in Israel through a biblical lens and intends to offer Christians and Bible believers a real sense of what is happening here behind perhaps the newspaper headlines.
And I can say that you do an outstanding job of it. It's one of the first things I check on my computer every day.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate the great work that you're doing. And I am, at the end of this interview, we're going to tell people how they can find your website and get this wonderful news information that you supply from here. Now, I can tell from your accent, Stan, that you're not from Texas.
No, I'm not from Texas. There's some American blood in these veins, but it's diluted a little.
Where are you from?
South Africa is my national homeland. I lived there for most of my life. For the last 20 years, I've lived here in Israel.
How did you end up in Israel?
Following a calling in my spirit to, as a journalist, I was a print reporter in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And when Saddam invaded Kuwait, the Lord spoke to me very clearly to come and write out of Israel and cover the developments here. So I moved here in 1991 and worked with the International Christian Embassy for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And then moved on a few things into the Jerusalem Newswire.
And do you have a family?
I do. I'm blessed with my wife, who's a Czech.
Oh.
From Prague. We met here 15 years ago. 15 mm-hmm. years ago this year. We got married right here in this garden. And we have five children, all
five?
Born here.
Wow.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Four boys and a girl. And
well, I want to ask you a couple of questions as we are coming up on the 60th anniversary of this incredible nation. It's amazing that it's lasted 60 years when you consider the fact that it's been under constant attack ever since it was founded. What does the 60th anniversary mean to you?
In a word, the 60th anniversary would mean to me faithfulness, God's faithfulness to His promises. He is the central figure in this act that's unfolding here, that has the whole world mesmerized. It is His long-standing plan, always been His plan and purpose, to restore the Jews to their land after centuries of wandering, to reestablish them here as a nation. With the purpose in mind, not that they would remain the secular, mixed kind of nation that they are today, coming from more than 100 different countries around the world, but ultimately he has a date. Israel is his wife, as the Bible tells us, and he has a date with her, a date when he will restore her, not only nationally, but spiritually to himself. And the 60th anniversary after, as you say, Dave, virtually every effort that hell could come up with to wipe her out, failing time and time again, not over yet, because we're not done yet here, but God has been faithful to this moment, and He has said, I will bring them back, and I will keep them there as a shepherd keeps his sheep. And He's the good shepherd, and He's keeping Israel in the midst of it all.
Wonderful. I tell you that your theme there of faithfulness of God really touches my heart and speaks to it, and it certainly sums up what God has done in this. Yeah, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps.
Amen.
Okay, let's look to the future for a moment. Now, in the natural, I think you're going to have to agree with me that the future looks very, very grim. I mean, we've got 250 million Arabs who want to annihilate this nation. We've got All the major international organizations like the UN, the European Union coming against this country. We've got the United States putting incredible pressure on Israel to give up its half of Jerusalem and its heartland. We've got the people of Israel just war weary, just tired of war. We've got the leaders of Israel who seem to have lost their Zionist vision. And they've bought into a program of appeasement, hoping that that's going to lead to peace. Is there any hope for Israel in the future?
Again, let's mention that word faithfulness. God does not do a half job. He who has begun a good work in us will complete it. He who has begun this good work will complete it. Our future, our eternal destiny hinges on this. This city that we're sitting in right here, this is the platform, this is the stage on which the entire plan that God has for the redemption of mankind, not just of Israel, but of mankind, has unfolded and will culminate right here. You know, sometimes I tell my readers and my friends, Jesus is coming back to this city, the city I live in. I mean, he's coming back to the Mount of Olives, which is just behind us over here. He's not coming, it's not some kind of pie in the sky. This is real. And this is not, I come from Cape Town. Cape Town is a very beautiful city. Right. We have a mountain there called Table Mountain, yes, which is a stunning. And sometimes I say with my tongue in cheek, Father, you know, if I had to choose the city or the mountain of the Lord, you know, what do you see in this place? It's run down. It smells. The drivers are really aggressive on the street, which is symptomatic of where the country is, really. And we do laugh because it's light relief. But actually, as you point out, the situation is anything but laughable. The Jewish people are reaching the very end of themselves. I have seen, you can almost monitor it, the slide down into a situation that borders on hopelessness, mm-hmm, concerning their future. Israelis are leaving here. We focus often on the Jews that are coming back to Israel, but many are leaving. Mm-hmm. And I've accompanied some inadvertently by plane across the United States who've told me that their new home is in America because they don't see there will be an Israel in 20 years. Well, there will be an Israel in 20 years because God says there will be. Not if we look around, not if we see that not only are all the nations around Israel that for 60 years have been dedicated to this nation's destruction just as determined to carry out their threat and better armed and better equipped and chasing after the kind of weaponry with which they will succeed. Inside Israel, we now have between 50 and 80,000 armed men, an army that has never existed before inside Israel in any other wars it's fought, the so-called Palestinian Authority's security forces, as they're called. A nation that is riven in two. I mean, there are factions here that have brought this country not really close to civil war, but into the realm of discussing the potential of civil war. Corruption from the top down all through the government. Israelis running around just as they did in Jesus' time, in Jesus' day. He looked at the Jews around him and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd.
Yes.
And that's what the Israelis are like today. They're like a sheep without a shepherd. They will run after whoever can offer them hope. And then they look to the great United States of America for that hope. And of course, they're not going to get it there.
If their hope is America, that's not much hope considering our track record.
I imagine we might elaborate on that in a bit, Dave, but yes, the focal point for Israel is not across the ocean, it's up. And there are signs of movement in that direction, not enough to suit those of us who are desperate to see this nation reach the end of their suffering and of their years of struggle. But as the pressure has increased internationally and locally, and they're running out of options, and as they're realizing, again accentuated just in the day of this recording, or just prior to this recording, with a visit here of the Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney, that there is no one in the world that's going to stand with them on their claim to their land, they are going to have to turn and look elsewhere. The geopolitical realities will force them to do so. It's agonizing to watch. For the father, it must be pure torture. He's yearning. Can imagine how it was with Joseph and his brothers.
Yes.
You know, just dying to make that contact again. But it's coming. And the bleaker the situation, the bleaker the circumstances, the greater my expectation. We're on the threshold. We're going to see something happen big.
So you do see hope.
Big hope.
Big hope.
Big hope.
Okay,
amen.
Thank you, Stan. Now, would you look into that camera right now and tell our viewers how they can get in touch with your organization over here?
I work with the International Christian Zionist Center, which is based out in Samaria, behind the security fence, our feet on the land that the world wants to take away from Israel. My website, or our website, is at JNewsWire, that's J for Jerusalem, JNewsWire.com. And there's another one at IsraelMyBeloved.com.
Okay. I hope that you will seek out those websites and get on his list for the Jerusalem Newswire. It is a wonderful source of news. I sincerely hope the interviews we have shown you have given you some insight into the past and future of Israel. Once again, as in the interviews we showed you last week, the theme regarding the past that seemed to characterize each interview was the faithfulness of God. And regarding the future, the word that seemed to characterize the interviews was hope. And again, I would like to emphasize that hope for Israel is justified regardless of how hopeless the state's future may seem to be at the present. The reason is that God promised in Amos 9:15 that once He regathered the Jews to their land, they will never again be rooted up. God has a plan for the Jewish people, a plan that will result in the salvation of a great remnant. If you would like to know the details of that plan, I would suggest that you call and order a copy of a book I've written entitled God's Plan for the Ages. Here's some information about it.
In this down-to-earth, easy-to-read book, Dr. David Reagan presents a panoramic survey of end-time Bible prophecy. Order this book for a donation of $15 or more, and we'll include this DVD, The Miracle of Israel, the story of how God orchestrated the United States' recognition of the nation of Israel. Call today for God's Plan for the Ages book and the DVD, The Miracle of Israel, for a gift of $15 or more.
Well, folks, that's our program for this week. I hope you will be back with us again next week when we will share some more insights with you concerning end-time Bible prophecy. Until then, this is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries saying, look up, be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near.
Thank you for joining us on today's Christ in Prophecy, a presentation of Lamb and Lion Ministries, a non-denominational ministry dedicated to teaching the fundamentals of biblical prophecy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus.